As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on The Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Jared Weiss. I'm joined by Mo DeKeel as always. We have Danielle Lehman producing, and we're going to get right into one of the best games of the week. This was the Dallas Mavericks beating the Golden State Warriors 116-113 behind another epic performance from Luka.
I mean, best game of the week. This has been the best game of the season, I feel like.
Really?
This was an unbelievable game. I think you had a... First off, Luka with a 40-point triple-double. Like, holy crap, dude. First off, Dallas. Like, come on, man. The guy goes to the bench in the first quarter after building a great lead. And you guys just give it all away in the second quarter with Luka on the bench. Like, it's kind of frustrating here watching that and everything that goes with it. But when Luka's on the floor, Jared, freaking genius at work.
It's spectacular. They had a 17-point lead early in this game. And then it kind of was neck and neck the rest of the way. But, I mean, Luka at the very end of this game was just incredible. The crunch time back and forth between these two teams was incredible. I think they must have traded baskets for a good 3 minutes there. It was Josh Green, his big layup at the end, that was the separator, I guess, in the end. But Luka was just carving everybody apart.
I mean, the Warriors had no answer for Luka all night. It didn't matter. He took guys into the post, guys like Klay Thompson. Literally backing him down in the mid post all the way to the rim. Took Wiggins. Didn't matter whoever they put on him, he cooked them. And that was just a really impressive performance on top of everything. They got some hot shooting from Tim Hardaway Jr., Jared.
Yeah, he had that big shot late in the game. He went, 5 for 11 from deep? He had 22 points overall. And I mean, it was a good performance from the Dallas starting unit. Not a good one for the Warriors. Like, everybody in the Warriors starting lineup was in a negative plus minus. Wiggins, minus 23. Steph, he was a minus 12, even with a 32-point night. It was just it was really the Warriors bench that made this a close game.
Well, it was, if you watch the first quarter, especially even like the first 5 minutes, the Warriors were like sleepwalking. It was kind of fascinating to watch. It was, they looked slow. They were very sloppy once again with their turnovers. That's always the case. And, you know, they just generally were not interested in defending all that well. Everything you watched, the way they were playing, I was just like, man, this, it looked like it was going to be a massive blowout with how they got going. But give credit to that second unit, man. Dante DiVincenzo, Jordan Poole, Kuminga, Anthony Lamb, and Jermichael Green all brought like energy and juice into that second quarter to kind of spark a run. And I think that's kind of what got the Warriors going and got them back into this.
Yeah, it really felt like DiVincenzo's defensive energy later in this game was like a huge turning point for them. And I mean, that's what is the Warriors' identity? Like, they're 11-11 now. It's kind of insane to see them at that spot. And this was at the very end, like, they looked great. It was exciting to watch, but the consistency isn't there right now, Mo.
No, it's not there. And here's the thing. The turnovers are killing them. And yes, they've been a high turnover team for a long time, Jared. Throughout this entire sort of dynastic run that they've had, turnovers have been a thing for them. but their defense would always back them up and make up for those turnovers. That wasn't the case tonight, and they got cooked. And I feel like that was a big problem for them. Give them credit for coming through down the stretch, making some big plays here and there. And, yo, Steve Kerr could not draw up a better end of game need three play, down three, than that. And in fact, he's done it that exact play before against Orlando a few weeks ago, and Clay hit that three. This one, he ended up not, but that was a wide open look. You can't ask for a better play than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the one that everyone's probably going to talk about is the shot before, the travel by Steph in transition. It was one of several travels called in this game. This was a point of emphasis that was announced like a few hours before game time, that the league was going to start calling a little bit more of those extra step travels on the step backs. What did you think about the fact that they're actually calling travels now?
I mean, look, there are some travels that are tough to call. You know, the question of when is it a gather step versus an actual step and things like that. The Steph 3 was an absolute travel and an easy one to call. He just changed pivot foot. That's always been a travel. That's not a new rule. That's always been a travel. He goes to a step back, established his left foot as a pivot foot, and then switched it to his right foot. You can't do that, folks. That's a travel. That ended up being called correctly in this game. Coincidentally, it's the same type of travel that wasn't called on Tyler Hero. Sacramento Kings fans know all about that one a few weeks back. But this is a clear-cut travel, and I think that was the right call. And I'm okay with the travels. It's going to be rough for a while, but the players will adjust.
I mean, they'll complain a ton, but then eventually
what's new? Players complaining? We had Luka Doncic complaining on every play. I think he was pissed off the nacho cheese wasn't warm. It's a matter of, like, you know, players are going to complain on everything. It's in that sense, but they'll also adjust. And I think that's what we'll see towards the long run.
Yeah, we're going to need a nacho cheese temperature as a point of education next, Monty McCutcheon.
Got to be hot, folks. Got to be hot.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This game was fun. It was the Clippers winning 118-112, and that's a surprise because they were down 91-73 when Norm Powell came into the game with 3 minutes left, and Norm Powell didn't stop scoring after that.
He's still scoring. The game's over, and he's still getting buckets. I don't know if you've noticed. His point tallying is still going up, Jared. One for the Blazers, no Damian Lillard. For the Clippers, no Paul George, no Kawhi Leonard. Shocker. I think the big loss, I think, for the Blazers to give up and blow a lead like that, I think really hurt them. But listen, Norman Powell was amazing. You know, Anthony Simons was going quite a bit. The guy I want to talk about is Musa Diabete. Ooh. That dude, oh my goodness, man. This rook called up from the G League. He played closing minutes for the Clippers. It was unbelievable.
It wasn't just closing minutes. Diabete gets up to the main team. Doesn't play the whole game. They get subbed in like right before the end of the third quarter. And then he played the rest of the game. He was their five the rest of the game. And he played really damn well.
He was a plus 19. Had a huge block on Simons down the stretch in crunch time. For a while, I was like, okay, Ty Lue's going with him until they bring Nurkic back. And then he'll bring Zubac back. No, man, he trusted Diabete and went going with that. Please tell me I didn't just say his name was Diabete. Please tell me I got his name correct.
You said his name was Diabetes twice.
Oh. But Norman Powell, unbelievable 22-point fourth quarter. And, I mean, look, the Blazers only managed to score 17 points in the fourth quarter. The Clippers' defense really locked them down. I thought it was just an impressive performance from the Clippers.
I mean, it looked like the Blazers were going to close small. And then Jeremy Grant, who had 10 points in the fourth quarter, was helping them kind of stay afloat as the Clippers made that run. He fouls out on a Reggie Jackson charge, and they went back to Nurk. What did you think of their decision to go back to being big instead of staying small?
Look, I think you kind of have to go back to Nurk, because, like, who are you putting in then after Grant, right? Like
Shaedon Sharpe
was not having a good night. You know, it's Nasir Little went down with the injury. It didn't look like he was coming back in. You have kind of a situation is just like, who are you going to go to? You got to go to Nurk. And, you know, kudos for Lou to say, like, screw it, man. I'm staying small. I'm going to roll with this is the group that got us into the game. This is the group that's going to try to see us out of this game. And I think that was the situation with what they went with. And I didn't think Nurk got really outplayed in that stretch and really hurt them. I think what really hurt them was Justice Winslow taking all of a sudden like three shots in crunch time.
Yeah, and Winslow was having a nice game. I liked what he was doing out there, but he, Anfernee Simons, how many shots did he take at the end of this game?
I mean, you know, Simons took a couple down the stretch, but like coming out of a timeout in a situation you need a bucket, Winslow dribbles the air out of the ball, gets a switch, and then pulls up for a mid-range jumper. Like, what are we, I mean, like, this is just bad offense. This is, in that instance, I think that's really what hurt them with what they're going through down the stretch is they're not going to their main guy, which is Simons. And then on the other end, the Clippers started hunting Simons. Norm Powell blew right by him after getting a switch at the top of the key and just easy layup after easy layup at that point becomes a problem. So if you're not even getting anything from Simons on the offensive end and he's hurting you on the defensive end, you're putting yourself in a bad position.
Yeah, I mean, Simons, he took a shot, or he hit a shot like around like this, was it the 4:45 mark. He didn't take another shot until there was a minute left in this game, and he chucked a bunch of shots up at the very end. But that was definitely concerning that they weren't able to find, or at least get him some like spread out space to go ISO a little bit, just like something, because he was cooking so well. I mean, third quarter, he had 15 points and 5 for 7 from deep, and then it just felt like they didn't go to him much in the fourth.
I mean, I thought this game was over after the third. If I'm being perfectly honest with you, I thought, oh, wow, this is Simons is on fire. He's having one of those nights, everything like that. And like you said, not a lot of shots for him down the stretch. And I think that's when you're looking at it, you're just kind of saying like, excuse me, not a lot of makes down the stretch for Simons. But it took a while for them to kind of get him going and get him looks at the end. And I think that was the problem.
Yeah, and I'll credit him. He had one great attack at the very end with like 15 seconds left. Could have made it, I think, a 1-point game, and then Nick Batum just erased that shot. Like that was the real turning point at the very end there.
Yeah, I mean, that was the ball game. I think, you know, just the pure fact that they let the Clippers back in was a massive blow for the Blazers. And if the Blazers are, you know, they were the wonderful team to begin the season, and we were all looking at them with such, you know, wow, what a great story. Now we're down back to the Blazers being 11-10. And struggling here a bit. I know Dame's out and so on, but this one hurts. After scoring 30 plus points for three quarters to only muster up 17 in the fourth, that one's going to sting for a bit. Real quick, how do I say the guy's name again?
I think it's Diabate.
Diabate.
Yeah, Musa Diabate.
Apologies. Apologies to everybody. Yes, I'm an idiot. Continue on.
All right, our last game, this one was a blowout. The Knicks, they beat the Pistons 140-110. You know, they had a nice halftime lead, and then Julius Randle and RJ Barrett just went off in the early third quarter, and this game was done very quickly.
Yeah, I mean, the Pistons suck. Sorry. You know, no Cade, no Ivy. I mean, it's you're struggling a lot if you're the Pistons. Hey, and for the Knicks, this is what you're supposed to do when you're playing a team like the Pistons. You need to blow them out so your guys can get rest. I love the fact that, hey, RJ Barrett, only 24 minutes. Randle, only 31. You know, I think it's good in the sense of you're getting your guys some rest and get the opportunities for some of the guys off the bench to play basically most of the fourth quarter. Great, great stuff from the Knicks in terms of just attacking nonstop.
I mean, that might be the biggest headline of the night, that Tom Thibodeau had his guys actually rest.
It was an accident. It had to have been. There's just no other way.
All right, we're going to wrap it up there. He's Mo DeKeel. Daniel Lehman is our producer. I'm Jared Weiss. We'll see you next time on The Ding.
Instead of ding ding, can we just get a traveling sound? I don't know. All right, ding ding.